page 229. Let's discuss Musaf again in the Seder of the Tfilos of Shabbos. So where exactly does Musaf fit in? And we're going to deal with a question that I think was raised a little bit last time when we discussed eating prior to davening, which is the question of eating after Shacharis prior to Musaf. That's what one of the major issues that we will, Mirtz Hashem, get to today. So Gemara Brachos and Daf Chavav Mabez, in terms of the Makor, in terms of the source for Musaf, says as follows. Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar, Tfilos Avos Tiknum. That the Tfilos were instituted by our Avos. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar, Tfilos Kneged Tmidim Tiknum. That the Tfilos were established corresponding to the Korbanos. Amar lechar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina the old man lechar tefilos avos tiknum. Really, I will tell you that the avos were misaking the tefilos, but there's no contradiction between these two teachings. Vas mechina rabbanan akorbanos, but the rabbanan connected them to the korbanos. They both kind of work together. Di lo te mahachi, because if you do not say like that, tefilos musaf Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina man tikna. If you hold like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, that it was done by the Avos, so we need a fourth Av in order to have a Musaf. So where does Musaf come from? So that obviously can't be. Rather, Ella Tfilos Avos Tiknum. The Tfilos were established by the Avos. Vas Mechin Rabbanan Akarbanos. So the idea of the Tfilos was established by the Avos. But the Chachamim attached them to the Korbanos, in which case, even if you have this, we'll call it quote-unquote extra tefillah, Musaf, if you have this extra tefillah, which does not correspond to one of the Avos, it corresponds to one of the Korbanos, there is room for such a tefillah. Okay, so that is our special extra tefillah of Musaf, which corresponds, presumably, to the Korban Musaf, right? Good. So far, so good. Fine. What is this? What is the process of Musaf? The Torah describes in number two. Well, the Achar Sheyachziru HaSefer, after they return the Sefer Torah, Yomar Shliach Tzibur Kaddish, the Chazan says Kaddish, V'yispalu HaTzibur Tfilas Musaf. Then there is the silent Shemona Esrei, Shalosh Rishonos V'Shalosh Achronos, the Kedushas Hayom Be'emtza, with seven brachos. Just like the other tefillah of Shabbos, you have the standard three at the beginning and three at the end, and one in the middle. V'noagin bisfarad lomar lemoshe tzivisa. The text of the I don't recall the piyut or whatever the text of the kedushas hayom, the way that they had it in Sfarad was lemoshe tzivisa. Uba Ashkenaz noagin lomar tikanta Shabbos. We have Tikanta Shabbos, and the Torah points out, what hopefully you've realized over the years, that you said this, Al-Alpha Beit Shel Tashrak, that it is according to the order of the Aleph Beis in reverse order, right? Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf, right? Tikanta Shabbos, Tzitzis, Karmasa, I think some of the Siddurim, I think they bold the opening letters, because it's not coincidental. What does it have to do with anything? It's Al-Shema Geula Dechsiv Eshrika Lohem, that it corresponds to this the geula about which it says that I will whistle and gather them in. How does that help for anything? So he explains in the footnote on the bottom, right? The root of the Hebrew word for whistle is comprised of three of the last four letters, shin, resh, kuf, right? Eshrika, of the Aleph Beis in successive reverse order. As this word is invoked in a prophecy concerning the redemption of Jewish people, the form of a liturgical prayer arranged going to the reverse order of the alphabet, such as the Tikkun Shabbos, relates to this prophecy. Okay, it's very interesting. Obviously, those who were misaken the tefillah saw a lot in this reversal. Now, maybe it's because it's the reversal of our history and bringing us back to the Aleph. I don't know exactly what they saw, but there was something about this which, you know, it wasn't just, you know, to help us remember it. They obviously saw that there was something in this reversed order that has significance, and that's how they established this one Esrei. So much so, he points out in between, that today the text of the Sephardic communities also begins with Tikkun Shabbos. You could probably count on one hand the number of times that the Ashkenazic Minhagim beat out the Sephardic Minhagim. Here's one of them. Tigan de Shabbos. Again, I wonder if it's even consistent with all these Sephardic communities. I don't know. I'm sure I've been to the Sephardic minyan, but I'm usually lost. But I guess maybe they do Tigan de Shabbos. I don't know. The one over here. That's what he says. That's what he says. Okay. Good.
Why do they change the Tell You Tzar to the Rosh Chodesh?
Why?
Yeah.
Why specifically that, or why do we have to include Rosh Chodesh?
I mean,
we have to include Rosh Chodesh because there's a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Why do we lose? Why do they not design a piyut in the reverse order? I don't know. Not sure. I assume that somebody could have, but I don't know. Not sure.
Doesn't infer the piyut was specifically written for Musaf?
That's what it sounds like. Sounds like it goes. Again, piyut is a little bit of a maybe a stronger word than we usually. I mean, I guess it's a piyut. It's the introduction to the Korban Musaf. Yeah? It's not Nusaf Svar.
It is Nusaf Svar. It's not.
Okay. I have one at home. Okay. For now, we'll trust the editor of the Torba series that he did his homework. Okay. Says the Beis Yosef. Umasha Kosev Rabbeinu, he comments on this on what the Torah says here, because again, what the Torah says on the surface is a little bit surprising. We wouldn't have necessarily connected the text of Musaf to the Geula just because it's on Shabbos. Umasha Kosev Rabbeinu, Al Shem HaGeula Dechsev Eshrekalahem Zelashon Shiboli Haleket. Okay, that's not surprising. Meaning the Torah did not make it up. The Torah is quoting it from an earlier source, which is what he often does. So it's from the Shibuya Aleket. Matzasi b'shem Rashi, that he found in the name of Rashi from Rashi Siddur. L'fichach u'miyusab alfa beta zu, the reason that it's in with this order. L'fichen ishmas ala geula, v'geula asida liyos bizchus Shabbos. What's the connection between Shabbos and the geula? Is that it is in the zechus of our Shmira Shabbos that we will have the Geula, right? More than the Jews have kept Shabbos. Shabbos has kept the Jews. The Shabbos keeps us going, and our connection to Shabbos is what's going to bring us back as well. That the Bnei Yisrael or Shomer, whether it's one or two Shabbosim, is not 100% clear. But the Shomer Shabbos can bring the Geula. Shnemar la'asar yisim asher yishmur Shabbos aside. Vinosati lohem beveisi yad vashem. Okay, it quotes a variety of psukim that seem to connect the two. Beautiful. So at least now we have a little bit of an introductory understanding as to what we are doing in that paragraph with this idea of the introductory words, trying to remind us of the potential for geula that exists on Shabbos. Okay, that's issue number one, just the actual text when it comes to Musaf. What about the proper time for Musaf, the Zman of Musaf? So the Mishnah in Berachos says like this, number four, top of the page. Mishal Musaf in Kol Hayom, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Sheva Shaos. So it seems to be that there is a dispute as to the time of Musaf. The Chachamim say that you can daven Musaf the entire day. And Rabbi Yehuda says until Sheva Shaos, until 7 hours into the day. Until 7 hours after into the day. But the Gemara comments as follows, V'shel Musaf in Kol Hayom, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'nikra Poshaya. Even according to the Chacham, who say that you are allowed to do it all day long, Rabbi Yochanan said, such a person who waits is called a posheya. You're somebody who's negligent. You're somebody who's not careful about your davening. Okay. Interesting. And this is how the Rambam paskins, as well. Tfilas ha-musafin, zmana achar tfilas ha-shachar, ad sheva shaos bayom. That the zman, in terms of, I guess, what we'll call the ikar zman, the primary, the best time, is until 7 hours into the day. Davening afterwards. That's basically what he's saying is this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Are you Yotze all day long? Yes. Yes, you're Yotze. Is it proper? No. Proper is to do it in the morning.
Were they mad to bring the Korban Musaf before 7 hours?
I think they tried to bring the Korban Musaf before 7 hours, but it was kosher kol hayom. It was kosher for the entire day.
What is the void after dark?
Not after dark, no.
So we say, though, the Korban corresponds to the Musaf.
Ah, yes. The tefillah, each of the tefillahs correspond, each of the tefillahs corresponds to a korban, but when it comes to Ma'ariv, the Gemara says that that is the hekter chalavim, the after a korban is brought, as long as the blood made it onto the mizbeach, so the limbs and the innards, the fats were allowed to be brought at night. That's what was brought at night, and that's what Ma'ariv corresponds to. Ah.
Are we locked on Rosh Hashanah
Yom Kippur? Ah, here we go. Next issue. Not next issue. Two issues. First, we have one more issue before we get to that. I mean, it's not just on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It might be certain Shabbosim, depending who's davening for the Umbud. We don't have the same challenge. Okay.
And who's speaking.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay. Let's see what Tosfos says over here first, and then we will we'll get to that issue. Says Tosfos as follows. So the Gemara talks about what happens if you missed out on a tefillah. What happens if you missed out on mincha? So Tosfos is going to address, well, what happens if you do miss musaf? We just discussed if you're called a posheya because you may end up missing musaf. What happens if you do end up missing musaf? So usually what is the rule if you miss a tefillah? Tashlumen, right? You can make it up. So lo boy im tov lo ispalt was musaf. The Gemara does not ask about a situation in which you erred and you did not daven musaf. Davada einam ispalo ba'arvis, because you certainly are not able to daven it afterwards. Yep.
So I never asked this question as a follow up, which I just came because I forgot. I was actually in Israel for Sukkot. And so we had Shmini Atzeres, so the Torah davening was obviously all cut short. Everybody went home. And then we all came back to shul at the end of the day for Mincha.
Yeah.
And nobody knew what to do. The shul didn't have a room. It was like a phone rack.
That was their first mistake.
Well, now they have one.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
So nobody knew what to do. Should they daven Musaf? Should they daven Mincha first?
Oh, good.
Right.
I believe that's how we pask it in Shulchan Aruch, is that as long as the zman for mincha has not arrived, then musaf comes before mincha. Well, you shouldn't have. Normally, you wouldn't have. What? In terms of mincha, musaf?
They came to shul. They hadn't yet davened musaf.
Most people didn't just daven musaf at home?
Most people didn't do anything other than sit on their
headsets. At best, right. Okay. So assuming that people didn't daven musaf, I would probably have thought that it was Shabbos, right? So you have a kriyasat Torah anyway, so you can start earlier. So I probably would have started with the Zos HaBracha, read the first aliyah of the Zos HaBracha through the first aliyah of the Bereishis. Or stop and then put 2 days together. Either way, again, I didn't think about the rolling, so I guess do that. Then you could take out, probably take out another Torah, the Tircha de Tzibura issue, and go to the other Sefer Torah, and or roll, but and then do truncate the Bereishis, I think. It's probably what I would have thought on the spot. But in terms of the order, I believe that the halacha is actually, I don't think he discusses it here, but maybe by mincha he does, but I think once the zman for musaf, once the zman for mincha comes, then you daven mincha first and musaf afterwards, because it's the ikar zman for mincha. Musaf, as we'll see, as we're seeing, should have been done earlier, and it, since it's okay kol hayom, then it now loses its spot. Yeah. So, I don't remember. I have to look at it in Shulchan Aruch again. I do believe that that's the halacha. I hear what you're saying. The comparison is not absolute. Meaning, we're not makpid to always, again, it's a machlokas, what the ikar's mind for mincha is in general, but assuming that you dave a mincha gedola, and that there are karbanos that are, you know, brought throughout the day, we're not makpid to wait as long as possible. So I think it's a halacha within davening, as opposed to, I mean, we only take the comparison so far.
If I miss Rusa, would I say two at a chut?
Oh, sorry, no, that's it there. So that, we're talking about if you miss it. So he says right now, Tavada inim is followed by arbis, the ikar's karbanos gvar avers man musaf. So it couldn't be that tashlumin can't possibly be during mincha, because you could still daven musaf
right.
If it's mincha time, because the end of musaf time isn't until the day's over.
Right.
So the only time that you could think about doing it is afterwards. Says, how could you possibly read the korban if the zman of the musaf already passed? So you're going to say that about every tefillah, right? Every tefillah, the zman already passed, and it corresponds to korban. The answer is that this is different because the psukim are actually the text of musaf, meaning it's supposed to be instead, right? The role is to be a replacement for the actual korban. On that, even though by a normal tefillah we don't say it, and you can make it up later, even though it corresponds to a korban that can't be brought anymore. Again, the comparison only goes so far. But when your entire text of your tefillah is the korban musaf, so there you can't say that you're going to bring it after this man has already passed. Avashar tefillos, when it comes to other tefillos, derachameinenu. At the end of the day, it's about beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a relationship with Him. And we say, levai she'ispaldom kolim kulo, the more tefillah, the better. Ve'en kan avar zmano b'tefillah cheres, and we don't have avar zmano in the same way. We don't have avar zmano in the same way. That's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Let's see number 8. Zman tefillos musaf miyad achar tefillos ha-shachar. Musaf should come immediately after shachris. Ve'en la'achar yosef miyad sov zayin sha'os. You should not wait for more than 7 hours. If you wait, you're called negligent. But technically speaking, you're still yotzei. And if you miss the time completely, you can't make it up. One more side point. You do duchen during musaf. Interesting halacha of the Ramah. If you do it in the other order, which we'll discuss a case which does come up maybe sometimes in a moment, for somebody who comes very late to shul, somebody who comes very late to shul, right? We'll talk about it in a second, and they're up to musaf, and you haven't daven shachris yet. Should you daven musaf with the tzibur, or should you daven shachris? I know nobody can imagine somebody who would come to shul so late. So it's hard to wrap our minds around it. But theoretically, somebody was mamish in an onus and had to go to the hospital with a chayla and comes back, and they're up to musaf. So what should he? What should he daven? So we'll deal with that in a moment. It's on the next page. We'll deal with it in a moment. Yeah.
Why? This is kind of tied into what we did last week. Why is like a camp, sleepaway camp? Do they eat? Why are you allowed to eat?
Good. We're going to get to eating in 3 pages. I think. No, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're finishing musaf today somehow. Okay, Weiter says the.
I'm still not clear.
On what?
Have we come to a conclusion yet?
About what?
I didn't do musaf. I just, and it's time for Melchai to do musaf first, right?
He doesn't discuss that here. I believe from my memory, I have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch afterwards, that the halacha is that mincha comes first. But he doesn't bring it up.
Not that I'm any funky, but that's my recollection.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Again, he doesn't. He doesn't discuss it in this chapter. Maybe the Mincha chapter he does. But I didn't get to Mincha yet. The Musaf he doesn't discuss
and
it.
And the Musaf I was
regular Musaf. Doesn't change. Okay. Doesn't change.
Okay.
Oh, fine. Now he's going to... okay, now is the late Musaf. So we said that you're called a Poshea. You said you called a Poshea, but as we know, most of the time, let's read in the middle, synagogues regularly recite Musaf before the end of the seventh hour. But on some of the holidays, particularly on Kippur and Simchas Torah, many synagogues recite Musaf, or parts of it, after the end of the seventh hour. So how do we deal with that? So says Rav Vosner, we'll read the bold part. So he says at the beginning that the whole idea of what's the problem being poshe is that you're showing you're lazy. So im kein bim kipurim dem achim lo machmas atzos al machmas avodas hayom shal tzibur. Shachris hu yagad hu chasor in chashash mitor poshe ha mis atzos. That it's not an absolute halacha. Since the halacha is so, because you're being lazy and you're being a poshe, if you're doing it for a halachic / religious reason, then you're not considered to be a poshe. And would still be okay. But then he writes, Kenyon is either Lelamid Zuchus. That's his justification. He doesn't think you should do it. But he understands why such a minog may have developed. But he shouldn't otherwise just be lazy. Oh. So then we said that you have to daven them in the right order. Says the Mishnah number 10. So why do you have to daven Shacharis first? Because that's supposed to be. Can I get the karbanos? The Talmud Shal Shachar. And that's supposed to be the first karban that is brought over the course of the day. Says in Minchas Yitzchak that what happens in a situation in which you show up and they're up to Musaf and you have a daven shachar. He said, Ulam Mitshubas Marsha gave me Seva Shibali David, Sherech Litchos Divichach Mechat, Sherech Dait Lamar, Titzvios Musaf with Sefer Adif. He quotes somebody who suggested that Musaf B'tzibur would be better. So he quotes at least some who seem to be okay with it, but does not seem to be the standard psak. We try to keep things. Generally speaking, in order, and you should not change the order.
What do?
You daven in order. It's not so pushy that you wouldn't get credit for tefillah b'tzibur. You are davening a tefillah b'tzibur, and it happens to be a different tefillah. So I would certainly try to still get your shachris to correspond to their musaf, but I would daven in the right order.
When I do tashlim for tefillah, let's say miss shachris.
Yeah.
And then at Mincha now, what do I do first? Mincha or...
Mincha first. The second Shemoneh Esrei is the Tashlum in Shemoneh Esrei. But it's the same Shemoneh Esrei.
But I understand.
It's the same Shemoneh Esrei.
But
yeah.
It would seem that you're out of order because...
But it's Tashlum. It's not that you're just doing it in the same order. We were recognizing that you missed the time. And then we give the opportunity afterwards to make it up. But we'll deal with Tashlum. Let's go right there for now. Why is Kriyas HaTorah in the middle? Kriyas HaTorah, B'nei Amil, Apiyah Medrash, Shema HaShem Tzedek, Zekriyas Shema, Hazina, Tfilah Sizu, Tfilah Kshiva, Nasizu, Arina, Shal Torah, Below Sif, Seymir, Zatulah, Muzhav, Meshach, Zatulah, Zatam, Alpi, Nigo, Hinitza, fine. So be careful, try to do things in the right order. How does this happen to me every time? We're going to do women and Musaf pretty quickly. So are women obligated to recite Musaf? So let's look at the orange part on top. Based on the comments of Tozo cited above, some Achronim suggest that the women are exempt. Right? Tozo says that the only purpose of Musaf is in lieu of the Karban. Okay, so what does that have to do with women? So it would seem that Tefillas Musaf is classified as a regular time-bound positive mitzvah from which women are generally exempt. If it's a regular tefillah, so then we could say, Rachamei Ninu. Right, they need Rachmanas also. They have to turn to the Ribono Shel Olam and beseech him. But that's what this is. They should be putter. And that's what the Tzlach suggests. Rabbi Akiva Eger on the bottom, we'll do it outside again, has a very interesting take as to why they should be putter. He says because the Korbanos HaTzibur came from the collection of the Shkalim, and the women weren't obligated to give the half a shekel. So they weren't even part of the actual karban. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Galchan. No, because again, it wasn't exclusively for that purpose. It's also Racha Meininu. It's also because we have to right. this only has the status of only has the status of bringing it for the korban. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan in his tshuva over here wants to suggest that it's not just about the shekel. He says there are other people who don't bring it. Kohanim and Levim aren't obligated to give the shekel, and Ketanim, and they're allowed to daven. The stipler on the bottom tries to defend Rabbi Kiveger and says maybe that they're different, that those people are going to come into the chiyuv, and if we don't have enough, then maybe they'll have to pay. Women are different. Okay, lemaisa, lemaisa, lemaisa. I think that the minhag is that women daven musaf. I think that's the common minhag, even though they are not obligated. Fine. Let's get 237. Eating between shachris and musaf. It's always about the food. Always about the food. So many congregations and yeshivos recite kiddush and eat. Maybe page 237 between shachris and musaf on Rosh Hashanah and Simchas Torah. Baruch Hashem, we do neither. But is this a proper practice? So the Gemara tells the following story. The Amar Rav Huna, Asla Adam Shidam Klum Kodem Sheispal Tzvos HaMusafin. I'm sorry. So Rav Huna told, they're missing the beginning of the story. Sorry. Let's go back to the orange part. I don't know why they cut out the beginning of the story. Abaye discussed Rav Avya, why Rav Avya did not come to Rav Yosef Shabbos Shir. So he said he was not feeling well. So he said to avoid eating before reciting Musaf, in accordance with the opinion of Rav Huna. So we'll see in a second. Because Rav Huna said, you're not allowed, why didn't, if he wasn't feeling well, why didn't he just eat? So he said, Asr litom kolim kolim shisbal tzvos ha-musaf. I didn't have a Musaf yet, so I can't eat. Amar lei, boy lei mar li tzuyet tzuzin musafin v'yachet litom midi l'maisei. You should have daven b'yachidos so that you could eat, so that you wouldn't miss the shir. How can you miss the shir? Amar Lei, what are you talking about? You're not supposed to daven prior to the tzibur. Amar Lei, lavit marlam Rabbi Abba b'tzibur shanu v'les hilchasa lo kirav huna. Says that is when you are with the tzibur, not when you are separate from the tzibur. Which is an interesting halacha. You're not supposed to start Shmon Esrei prior to the tzibur, unless that is your only way of trying to make kedusha. But again, but normally speaking, when you're with the tzibur, you're not supposed to start Shmon Esrei prior to the tzibur. But what do you see from what we're actually bringing this for? Is that you're not allowed to eat prior to Musaf. Musaf. Oh. What's the conclusion? At the end of the Gemara says, Halacha is not like Rav Huna. So it seems Rav Huna says you're not allowed to, and the Gemara says you are allowed to eat before Musaf. So how do you pass in Shulchan Aruch? Mutter litom kodem tefilas hamusafin. You can eat a little bit. You can taste prior to musaf. Dainu achilas peros, fruit, or afilu pasmuat, afilu tzim sheish ba kedei lusar aliv, aval su'uda asar. You can have a snack, but you cannot have a meal. But what's the? You're allowed to. Doesn't mean you have to. But what's the problem now? The problem is, well, what about kiddush? Because ein kiddush ela b'makom su'uda. But you're not allowed to have a su'uda. But you can't eat until you make kiddush. So how can all this, how does it all fit together? Right? He says that you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to be toim, but you can't have a su'uda prior to musaf. Once you daven shachris, we said last time that you're not allowed to eat without making kiddush. In order to make kiddush, you need kiddush b'makom su'uda. So for a technical outside reason, even though you might be allowed to eat prior to musaf, you should not be allowed to do it. That's the Magen Avraham's question in number 21. Or that's what he's bothered by. V'afagav da'asur le'echel kodem kiddush. And even though you're not allowed to eat for kiddush. V'ein kiddush el b'makom su'uda. And kiddush has to be b'makom su'uda. Yeishlomar d'day k'sheyishdek hozyayin acharav. In order for kiddush b'makom su'uda, if you drink a full cup of wine, that is enough. You can have koveya su'uda on the full cup of wine, according to Rebbe Reish Ayin Gimel Sif Hei, oh, shiyita maperos, you eat the fruit, v'yispal b'mekomo, you daven musaf where you are, v'yocha charka chapas, and you have it as a little break. You know, some people like a shtickle of break on Shabbos, they make kiddush, and they have, the schmoozing time with a little bit of a vorspeise or whatever else it is, and then they move on to wash afterwards. So that's still, at least the since the bread is going to be there, it's still considered to be a kiddush b'makom seuda. That's the only solution. So again, that requires a full cup of wine, or requires staying where you are. So you have the kiddush club, then you continue to have most of where you are, and then you have your seuda in the coat closet or wherever you're having your kiddush club. Don't say that the obligation of kiddush is not yet upon him. He's allowed to eat a little bit. He has the obligation to still recite kiddush on that little bit. So again, we're a little bit stuck as to what the lemaisa is over here. So the Mishnah Berurah tries to summarize as follows in terms of the practical halacha. So he says, if you want to eat before Musaf, you could have pas muat, dainu kebetza, which would be a kebetza, an egg's volume, so that's two kezesim, tekoze hu b'chal achilas aroi, because that's still considered to be an achilas aroi. It's still considered to be a snack. Tekoze genimocha mini targima mechamech zaminim deshari, and certainly, if all you eat is a kebetza of non-bread, so you eat cake or something like that, that would be considered to be enough for kiddush b'makom seuda to allow you to make this kiddush, but at the same time, it would not be a violation of eating too much prior to musaf. That's one possibility.
He's talking about mezonos, like when he says pas, he doesn't mean necessarily bread, does he?
That's what he says. It says bread, and then he says mini targima. Mini targima is mezonos. No, there is wine. I think you made kiddush first. I think, yeah.
But once I eat the bread, I have to...
That's what we do it now, right? That's why we make kiddush.
We'll see. We'll try to get... We'll get there in one second. Yeah.
Why did the Magen Avraham not mention the zonos? It seems so obvious. We take it for granted that we use zonos.
Right. That's what I was asking. Why did you say...
So curious why he didn't even
mention... I think he thinks that it doesn't work. For kiddush b'makom seuda doesn't work. I'll explain what.
He prefers a cup of wine over mezonos.
The gra, based on other sources, which I guess maybe what the Magen Avraham is working off of, also assumes that you can be koveya seuda either on wine or on pas. Those are the only two options. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon would say it is better to be koveya. I think the Gaon, though, holds you need a double revius. I think you need a revius for kiddush. You need a revius for kiddush. But that's your kiddush. And then you need a revius for the inner place. I think he needs to need a double revius.
Two questions. One is, how do you then
go
behind Shavuot with Mizonos?
Okay.
The second question is, let's say you make kiddush, or you make abdallah. You have to drink enough to have a bracha brought up. And if you don't,
so, the simple answer is that technically all you need is a rov kos. It's considered to be, and that's in order to be yotzei. Somebody has to drink a rov kos. Now, if you use a small cup, then a rov kos can be less than a revius. If you use a cup that holds a revius, let's say I use a becher that has for havdalah that is slightly over 3 ounces. Slightly over 3 ounces. So if I drink, let's call it 1.6 ounces, so I've been yotze the mitzvah of havdalah. However, it's considered to be a ganai to the kosher of bracha to not have a revius. And there's also a little bit of a suffix in terms of bracha achrona, what the shear is melo lugma, or if the shear is revius. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch recommends never having in between. Not having in between the rov kos and a revius, so therefore I make sure to drink it all right away, so that I can still make the bracha achrona. But you would certainly be yotze havdalah. Correct. Rov kos is because the shear of the kos can be a revius. So you can have the situation, and I think it happens many times, where you drink the amount that is required to be yotzei the mitzvah, but it is not sufficient to make a bracha achrona. If you be most... If, Yeah, if you're using a squat, six sounds becher. Yeah, then absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But let's finish up this, then maybe we'll get back to the Shal Shittas thing, if it might be connected. You have a lot of fruit that's never considered to be Achilas Keva. And if you really need it, if you're weak, you can have a little bit more. So according to Mishnah Berurah, let's look at the quick summary over here. One may eat up to a kezias of grains or bread, or even more fruit. Vegetables are non-grade foods. In addition, one may eat more than a kebetz of grains or bread if one feels weak. One fulfills the requirement of eating a meal with kiddush in this manner, since according to most opinions, one need only eat a kezias of grain products for this purpose. So basically what he's trying to say is that maybe you can sort of be mechalik in the definitions and say that in terms of the iser to eat prior to musaf, that's a full-fledged suda actually going to fill you up. In terms of kiddush makom suda, maybe you can get away with the more technical one. Right, so I believe the way, I think this, again, I may be misquoting, but from my memory, I think that the way that Rabbi Willig tells this over from the Rav, and I believe that this is where the common practice comes from, is that there are two dinim in Kiddush. That there are two dinim in Kiddush Shabbos morning. One is that Kiddush is necessary to be matir achila. In order to be able to eat, you have to make Kiddush. The second is that you require Kiddush b'makom su'uda. And I think the way that he resolves this is that he suggests that you can split the two. That you can split the two. And what that would mean is that you can make Kiddush and eat something afterwards, even if it is not going to be enough to be considered the kiddush b'makom su'uda. But now that you make kiddush, it's mutter to eat. However, what that would require is that when you're going to have to make another kiddush, when you get to where your su'uda is. That's what I do. So whenever I'm having my actual su'uda at home on Shabbos, I always make kiddush, irrespective of whether everybody at the table has heard kiddush somewhere else already. When I make kiddush downstairs here or something like that, I'll eat a little something. But again, it's not going to be that's not going to be the shir. So if maybe that's what connects to the Shal Shudas question. So again, there is a machlokas whether Shal Shudas requires bread or not. The pashta says that it should. But for those who think that it doesn't, it would be based on these definitions of su'uda, and that maybe you can have a su'uda with less.
Are you saying if I go down to the kiddush, I make kiddush, and then I have a nice amount of cake or something,
yeah,
and then I go home, I don't have, and so enough to be kiddush but welcome su'uda downstairs. I go home and I have my challah.
Yeah.
I don't make kiddush prior to that, or I would have to make.
I would think you do. Right. If you're going with the Mishnah, if you're going to go with the Mishnah, what the Mishnah Berurah is suggesting here, I don't think you're required to. If you eat enough that you were yotze a shear of su'uda, I think according to what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, you were yotze your mitzvah of kiddush.
So then I would go home and just make hamotzi.
Correct. I think. I assume other Mishnayos have said it besides the Rav, but again, that's the way that I remember learning it, but I'm in a place where they often quote from the Rav, is that the Tzura, again, it's a very Rav Mahalach, that the Tzura of the Su'udah Shabbos is that a Su'udah of Shabbos has to begin with Kiddush. It has to start with Kiddush. So wherever that Su'udah is, it has to start with Kiddush. What are we doing downstairs? We're doing downstairs. It's just saying that it's mutter to eat. It's only mutter to eat if you make Kiddush beforehand. But, okay, because of all these, we try to do both. We try to make sure to. So what I try to do when I'm downstairs is have the double revius of wine instead of having. Maybe that's why I look so happy downstairs.
Drink two cups of wine.
Again, sometimes the becher has two revius in it. If you use a shtur to share.
So you are being covetous to the downstairs.
Right.
And then you're making kiddush at home again at the suda.
Because that's not the ikar suda. Because that's not the tzura of the suda. I'm trying to make sure that, again, in terms of this halacha, that you're making kiddush, according to them, you're not yotze kiddush unless it's b'makom suda. So how can you have both?
Right.
Right, you're kind of, so this way you can try to, you know, have your wine and drink it too.
How do you get around kiddush before Musaf?
Well, you need this in order to have the kiddush
rosh thing. The lavish kiddush before Musaf thing that exists in many shuls and Rosh Hashanah.
So it's weak. It's weak. What's the answer? The answer is probably what he says over here on page 239. The question is what's the nature? Why is it asur to eat before Musaf? So if you assume that it's the normal halacha that you can't eat prior to a mitzvah, because you're going to get caught up and you're not going to do it, so then maybe that's a way out. Is that usually we say that if you have a reminder in place, like something like Neres Chanukah all the time. People have to go somewhere, people have this and that. So they have a reminder. They said that somebody's going to remind them, or it was Yotze. They'll set an alarm, whatever it is. And then we say that maybe you don't have to worry that you're going to come to forget anymore. So if you have the entire tzibur, hasn't davened musiv yet, and they're all together eating downstairs, what are the chances that the entire tzibur are going to forget to daven? So the Shmir Shabbos suggests that maybe that's what it's based on. Again, it would still only be Makom HaTzorach. Most places don't do it on a weekly basis, I think. But on a weekly basis, is probably weak. But to do it occasionally, when there's a tzorech, is probably going to be based on that. Okay. Yashikayach. Mirza, next time we'll get to Mincha.